DW Africa Link.
It is October 7th, 2019. A warm welcome to Africa Link, coming to you live from our studios here in Bonn, Germany. I am Mimi Mefo.
And I am Abubakar Jallo. Coming up on the program, Cameroon frees opposition leader Maurice Kamto and his allies after spending several months in detention on charges of rebellion. We hear from a German member of parliament who has been keeping a close eye on the country.
I think it could be only a first step, and there should be other signs of a reconciliation process. There was so much harm, so much people still in prison, so much people having been shot.
Also coming up, Rwanda's President Paul Kagame issues stark warning against insurgents who recently carried out attacks on a popular tourist area, killing at least 14 people.
The few people out there who still think they can create insecurity in the country daily will never achieve anything.
Plus, climate activists from the group Extinction Rebellion block roads in Germany's capital Berlin as the first wave of global demonstrations kick off. Stay tuned for these stories right after this.
DW News.
I'm Shane Meineke with DW News. Climate activists have kicked off widespread protests in several countries around the world, calling on governments to act against global warming. In Germany, hundreds of protesters from the so-called Extinction Rebellion group blocked roads and disrupted traffic near the Brandenburg Gate in Berlin on Monday. Speaking at a rally, Annemarie Botzky, a spokesperson for the climate group, said Germany needs to act now.
We are peacefully blocking this main square in the middle of Berlin. We demand the German government to immediately declare a state of climate emergency.
Protests were also carried out in the UK, Australia, South Africa, and elsewhere. The group says they will hold 2 weeks of global protests to urge governments to save the Earth from extinction. Two Americans and a British scientist won the 2000 Nobel Prize for Physiology or Medicine. The three scientists discovered how the body's cells sense and react to oxygen levels, which could help in fighting cancer and other diseases. Doctors William Kalin, Greg Semenza, and Peter Radcliffe will share in the nearly $1 million prize money. In South Africa, former President Jacob Zuma's son has testified before the so-called State Capture Inquiry Commission looking into allegations of corruption. Prosecutors claim Duduzane Zuma was offered a bribe and a ministerial post during Jacob Zuma's 9 years in power. Zuma's son denied any wrongdoing. This news comes to you from DW, Germany's international broadcaster. U.S. troops have begun withdrawing from areas along Turkey's border in northeastern Syria, as Turkey appears set to launch an offensive against Kurdish fighters in the border area. Trump defended the pullout, tweeting on Monday that keeping U.S. troops near the border was too costly and that it was time to bring American troops home. The withdrawal represents a major shift in U.S. policy and reportedly went against several U.S. senior officials. A major Kurdish-led group called the move a stab in the back. Italy's Coast Guard said at least 13 people died when an overloaded migrant boat capsized off the Italian island of Lampedusa. At least 22 people were rescued and around 30 people were reported missing. The UN Refugee Agency has warned that more deaths of migrants at sea is likely if urgent action isn't taken. The UN says more than 1,000 migrants have died so far this year when attempting to take the perilous journey from Africa to Europe. And finally, in Tunisia, two rival parties have claimed victory in Sunday's parliamentary elections. Incumbent President Beji Caid Essebsi said his party had won over the so-called Heart of Tunisia party. Preliminary results are expected Wednesday. For more news and information, visit our website at dw.com. I'm Shay Meineke.
And this is Africa Link. We are coming to you live from our studios in Bonn, Germany. My name is Abubakar Jalo.
And I am Mimi Mefo. We are live on our Facebook page as usual, DW Africa. We can see a good number of you. Wiba Louise is already there. Thank you, Wiba Louise, for joining. Thank you all as well who are part of the debate. And drop your comments on our Facebook page, DW Africa.
That's right, Mimi. Let's get right into it. As one of the reconciliatory gestures from to address Cameroon's domestic crisis, President Paul Biya has ordered the discontinuance of court proceedings against opposition leader Maurice Kamto and his allies.
The close to 100 opposition members were released last weekend after spending 9 months behind bars. Earlier today, I spoke with the chairman of the German parliament in charge of African group, Christoph Hoffmann. He tells me the offer of Cameroon's President Paul Biya is just a step towards reconciliation.
The amnesty he was giving to 333 people, also to the opposition leader, Mr. Kamto, I think is a good step to start a dialogue, but it's only the beginning on the long road. I'm happy to see that Paul Biya has sort of realized that repression will not solve the problem.
Now, do you believe that this can relieve Cameroon's tense political atmosphere at the moment?
I think it could be only a first step, and there should be other signs a reconciliation process. I mean, there was so much harm, so much people still in prison, so much people having been shot. So this will take a lot of time, but at least it's the first step, and sort of he's leaving the road of repression.
When you talk about a start of reconciliation process, do you have more expectations from the current regime?
Well, this is a very difficult question to say. I mean, he has a long record of autocratic career, and the elections might have been rigged as well, so it's difficult. And I think he should also think about his successor or a new election or something like that to solve the reason of the whole problem. And, of course, there's the Anglophone crisis, which was also a source of unrest and violence. If you don't resolve the real problems in society, there won't be any calm.
Now, a national dialogue has just ended without the separatist leaders who are at the center of the conflict rocking Cameroon at the moment. What are your thoughts?
I think, of course, the leaders of the conflict, of both sides of the conflict, have to be at the table. I was always trying to talk our chancellor, Madame Merkel, into that to give sort of a initiative to solve this problem or to at least start a real dialogue. And I'm working right now on the foreign minister, Heiko Maas, to convince him to go there and help this former German colony to get a peaceful way into the future.
What is this real dialogue you are talking about? How does it look like?
Of course, I mean, there have been talks in the beginning to start a talk. I mean, you cannot have people in prison and try to talk with them. That won't work. So at least the leaders of those conflicts have to be free, and also there has to be peace in the Anglophone area, giving signs that the police is going back, and then start the talks and also have a process of reconciliation, meaning that all violence which has occurred have to be judged and have to be on the table as well.
And that is Christoph Hoffmann, in charge of African Group at the German Parliament, speaking about ways of resolving the political conflict in Cameroon.
And on Facebook, we've been asking what's next now for Maurice Kamto after his release. One Mom Talan Ba says, the days ahead will tell if Kamto is capable of leading from the front as he takes back the streets, or simply chicken-hearted, shocked, recoiled, and scrutinized. Well, that's a comment there from One Mom Tala.
And Riley Fru says that Paul Biya has plans for everything, and whatever moves he takes is well calculated towards his personal political gains.
And a quick one here from Abu Didat. He said that is the positive step towards resolving the crisis that has taken many lives of innocent people.
And we take our listeners a little bit out of the continent. Demonstrations around the world are calling on governments to do more to avoid climate catastrophe. In Germany, protesters have gathered in capital Berlin as part of the Global Day of Civil Disobedience.
Now, climate activists from the group Extinction Rebellion blocked roads around Berlin's Victory Column near the Brandenburg Gate early on Monday morning as the first wave of demonstrations in a day of civil disobedience. Michael Oti has more.
A few hundred protesters from Extinction Rebellion have been blocking Berlin's Victory and Column and the Big Star roundabout since the early hours of Monday. The movement says it will continue to demonstrate until the German government declares a climate emergency. Extinction Rebellion, which was founded in Britain, is kicking off its global civil disobedience starting in Berlin. Climate activists from across Germany say they came to Berlin to send a strong message. This protester, who doesn't want to be named, came from Frankfurt.
Extinction Rebellion is a non-violent movement which has taken upon itself to get the government moving, to achieve climate protection goals, and finally to tell the truth to the people.
German Chancellor Angela Merkel's Chief of Staff, Helge Braun, condemned Rebellion's approach. But Annemarie Butzki, a member of the group's press team, had this to say.
We are not here for action. We are here to put the government under pressure. For us, a success would be for the government to declare a climate emergency and for citizens to gather. These are our objectives, and until they are achieved, we will come back.
Some 60 events were planned around the world on Monday. The protesters had already set up a camp over the weekend in front of Chancellor Merkel's office and the Reichstag.
Michael Oti reporting. Rwandan President Paul Kagame has warned insurgents who recently carried out attacks on a popular tourist area, killing at least 14 people, and vowed that the attackers would never destabilize his country.
Now, Kagame was speaking before a mammoth crowd that turned up for this year's Rwanda Day here in Bonn. The event was also attended by friends of Rwanda from other countries, including the host country, Germany. Africa Link's Isaac Mugabe attended the event and filed his report.
At least 4,000 Rwandans living in the diaspora turned up for the annual Rwanda Day to connect with their compatriots living inside Rwanda and other parts of the world. It was a day full of pomp, culture, music and dance as many Rwandans met with family members and friends that they hadn't seen in many years. But despite the mood and ambience, President Paul Kagame, the chief guest, under his sleeve, had a strong message that he wanted to deliver. It was a warning not to his people, but to insurgents believed to be FDLR rebels who recently attacked and killed 14 people at a popular destination for tourists visiting Volcanoes Park to view mountain gorillas.
The few people out there who still think they can create insecurity in the country daily will never achieve anything. Our unity and strength are the foundations on which the country has been built upon. No one can break that strength.
Rwanda Day was also an opportunity for young professionals living in Europe to meet with prospective employers back home and weigh in the possibility of returning to their home country. Patrick Dusabe, a diasporan from Poland, told DW that he was able to interact with fellow entrepreneurs on how they can build partnerships to promote products made in Rwanda, but for the European market.
We don't really travel home often, so when we have those entrepreneurs or other authorities from Rwanda, we have much information of what's happening there. So, for instance, as me as an entrepreneur, I'm getting much information and opportunities on how I can invest or how I can cooperate with the local entrepreneurs.
Rwanda Day is an annual event that for the last 10 years has been held in different European cities and North America. For the first time since its inception, no opposition groups living in exile turned up to hold protests against President Paul Kagame.
Our very own Isaac Mugabe with that report there.
And on our Facebook page, we simply ask you to have your say. According to Salifu Abdul Rahman, all support to Kagame, the best president in Africa. We won't be fooled to hate or kill our great leaders again.
And also a comment there, which basically doesn't say support what the commenter said there. He says Kagame wants to become Rwanda and make Rwanda Kagame. Africa doesn't need the cult personality of a strongman leader like Kagame, but strong independent institutions and civil society and free press thinks that Kagame hates.
article I know has a contrary view, says that Kagame is a dictator.
Thanks for coming. You are listening to DW's Africa Link. I'm Abubakar Jalo.
And I am Mimi Mefo. We are live on our Facebook page, DW Africa.
And a lot of you are commenting there on our main story, which is the release of our Cameroon opposition leader, Maurice Kamto. We will get to your comment at some point, right, Mimi?
Right, certainly.
Indeed. Now, coming up in the next 15 minutes, Ghana records an unprecedented high number of people infected with scabies.
It started like heat rashes and later began to itch. Suddenly, it took over all my body. I couldn't do anything by myself. This is a bad disease.
Abu certainly will be coming to that story a little later. But first, to Nigeria, where a survey conducted by the rights group Socio-Economic Rights and Accountability Project, SERAPT, in March this year, ranked the Nigerian police as the most perceived corrupt government institution in the country.
And so the Nigerian government has reacted by creating the Police Trust Fund, a special fund meant to solve the underlying factors that push officers to ask for bribes. But many are worried that the fund, which will be partly funded by private companies and individuals, could be used by the contributors for their personal purposes. DW's Zahara Din Umar filed this report.
This is a Nigerian police officer raising challenges that sometimes compel them to ask for bribes from local people. But according to Sani Muhammad Baba Inna, an officer at Public Relations Unit at the police headquarters Abuja, the newly introduced Police Trust Fund will address critical challenges facing the police in Nigeria.
It comprises of so many things that would move the Nigerian police force to the next height. There's the issue of building of barracks, building of police station, training and retraining, international courses, the recruitment process, equipment, just you name it, anything you can think of that would make the police move ahead is captured in the act.
Already known as one of the corrupt institutions in Nigeria, the authorities want to change this image by providing financial means and training. Hadiza Usman, who works with the Partners West Africa Nigeria, says that her NGO will help to rehabilitate some corrupt officers.
The main reason they said that police collect all these bribes is the fact that they are not remunerated accurately. So we are hoping that if they are comfortable, if they have housing, if they can provide for their family, they won't be distracted by having to collect money from the general public.
The trust fund, according to the law, will be funded by both private companies and the government. This, however, did not go down well with some security experts. Retired Major Bashir Shaibu Galma is a security analyst in Kaduna.
There may be a time when you will see some of these top functionaries belonging to these companies getting into some problem, and then we start looking for how the police should reciprocate, because they are already known to this. And there is this fear of the top executives of this firm getting very close to the police, which is not the best for this country.
But Chief Superintendent of Police Baba Inna says companies' donations will not hurt their job.
It's not directly the company giving the police money. We wouldn't know who is even donating such items or monies to us. Where corporate organizations decide to donate to the police, well, we would check the source and the kind of organization that is giving us the money and the amount that it's coming in. It's not just any organization that would say the police were donating such.
Now that the Police Trust Fund is here, what many Nigerians hope is proper implementation and management of funds to transform and enable the police to professionally respond to the current security challenges.
Zahara Din Omar reporting for DW in Nigeria.
And Abane, one of our top fans on Facebook, they have said, well, the police will never stop asking for bribe. That's your comment there. And thanks for bringing it in.
Health check.
Let's talk about our health now, shall we? Ghana has witnessed a surge in the number of persons infected by scabies. A move by the country's health ministry to boost medical supply has not been able to curb its spread.
Scabies, which government says is one of Ghana's top 10 skin diseases, is caused by poor sanitation. DW's Maxwell Souk reports from Ghana.
Outside of the Buruburu Community Health Center in the northeast region of Ghana, dozens line up waiting to receive treatment. This community is the epicenter of the scabies outbreak. The disease broke out in June 2019 and has spread to nearly 20 communities. 47-year-old Amina Abdul Karim has been a victim.
It started like heat rashes and later began to itch. Suddenly, it took over all my body. I felt dizzy and could not sleep at night. I couldn't do anything by myself. This is a bad disease.
Benzyl benzoate is one of the key drugs for the treatment of scabies. It hit a shortage barely 2 weeks after government and the UN announced supply of more vaccines to affected communities. Amina Abdul Karim, who is suffering from scabies, says she has not been able to get treatment. She was told that the Buruburu Health Center ran out of medications.
They said the drug has finished. The little they had was given to people who came earlier. We are just sitting here for nothing. We can only be given drugs when more supplies arrive.
Scabies is a dermatologic condition caused by an eight-legged microscopic mite. It is contagious and can easily spread through close physical contact. Health workers like Anas Hamza are getting overwhelmed with the number of persons infected each day. He first tells me how the disease is detected.
When we come, we also investigate, we see them. We see how they also scratch. Those kind of signs and symptoms, they present. Itching, vomiting, and then fever. So we detect that it's scabies. So we do treat appropriately.
Besides providing medical assistance to patients, Hamza says the people are also offered hygiene education.
You could go to your house, one woman will use one sponge to bath five children in a house, and one is affected. So you see that it will affect all the children in the houses that they use the sponge to bath. So we educate them. At least if you don't even have a sponge, we have the fertilizer sacks, the rubber ones. They should tear and wash it very well. One child per each sponge. In view of this, we are getting changes.
The Buruburu community initially linked the condition to superstition, one major cause of its spread. But Abubakar Owasiu, an assembly member for the community, says the people are now enlightened.
They did first and they were coming to do the second one before they came. And actually, in fact, now we don't have any mind of that subject. We now know that it was a disease. Now they have discovered it and they're giving us treatment with effect to that.
The WHO says scabies presents a major health threat to developing countries such as Ghana. It is largely associated with poor environmental management. Ghana, which is still battling to contain the polio type 2 outbreak, now need to sit up and deal with its hygiene and sanitation setbacks.
That is DW's Maxwell Souk reporting on scabies, which is threatening the lives of inhabitants in Ghana.
And some of you have been talking about this on our Facebook page, DW Africa. We ask you if you think this is happening in your community. Patrick Kai says, well, medical treatment is the best that can prevent the ancestors from being annoyed with you. Well, actually, it's referring to the whole reason why this thing spread in Ghana.
Because people say the ancestors were mad at the people.
Yeah.
Certainly. And Davis Judson says that stupid traditions. As well says that the community, in my community, no. According to him, there's no scabies in his community. We don't know what or where your community is.
Yeah, and Namdi Naubani says, well, Africans, please allow your ancestors to rest in peace. That's a good one.
And government should do something expediently to curb the menace. That is Paul Eric Bino. Thank you for your comments and keep the debate flowing.
Africa Link.
Sport.
And after 10 days of competition, the World Athletics Championship drew close to Sunday evening in Doha, Qatar.
Kenya led the continent's performance, placing second on the overall medals table behind the United States of America. DW's Shola Jaisimi has more on this as well as on the results from match day 7 of German Bundesliga football.
Kenya's total medals haul at this 17th edition of the IAAF World Championships, which had 209 participating countries and 1,972 athletes, is exactly the same with its scorecard in the last edition in London. 5 gold, 2 silver, and 4 bronze medals. It grabbed its 11th medal on the final day when Timothy Chiriot stormed to gold on the 1,500 meters, beating Algerian Taufik Makalufi to silver by just over 2 seconds. That was Algeria's only medal at the championship, as it emerged the 4th best performing African nation behind Ethiopia, which bagged 2 gold, 5 silver, and 1 bronze, and Uganda with 2 gold medals. Other African countries on the medals table are Burkina Faso, Cote d'Ivoire, Morocco, Namibia, and Algeria, all of them with 1 bronze medal each, and all of them occupy the 31st position on the overall medals table. In all, 27 medals were won by Africa at this championship, 2 shy of the total medal haul garnered in London 2 years ago. And to the German Bundesliga, where it was a week of changing fortunes for the traditional heavyweights. Bayern Munich slipped to third on the table following a 1-2 home loss to Hoffenheim. Borussia Dortmund's 2-2 away draw to Freiburg, which is happening for the second straight week, put Dortmund to the fourth position. The table now has a new leader with 16 points, and that is Borussia Mönchengladbach, courtesy of its 5-1 thrashing of Augsburg. In the second place is Wolfsburg with 15 as it beat Union Berlin 1-0. Leading from the rear is Bundesliga newcomers Paderborn with just 1 point following a 1-2 loss to 13th place Mainz, and FC Cologne with 4 points, which drew 1-1 at Schalke. The league is now on hold following the international break, and when it resumes on the weekend of 18th to 20th of October, current champions Bayern will be seeking redemption when it travels to Augsburg. Dortmund, which is in the 8th position, will be at home up against current leaders Mönchengladbach.
DW Shola Jaisimi, they're reporting.
And we've been reading some of your comments here on our top story.
A lot of comments, Abu.
Which is about the release of Cameroon's opposition leader, Maurice Kamto, and his allies. And Ethel Nchom says, well, this is just the beginning for Kamto. Cameroon will be in chaos as long as 84-year-old Biya is still in power.
And Kamto would only prove charisma if he stands to congratulate the population who has been behind him. That is Frank Barrow speaking on our Facebook page, the DW Africa, and must preach for peace and justice in Cameroon, according to him.
And another one here from Prayers Amin, amen. He says, well, Cameroon has got no internal solutions for Southern Cameroonians. Well, that's
and certainly we have also comments coming in on the Uganda, the Rwandan story.
The Rwandan story, yes. We've been reporting that
Paul Kagame was here talking.
He was here not far from us, actually.
Yeah, certainly.
Where they hosted the Rwanda Day event at the here in Bonn, Germany. And Abu Dede says, well, Rwanda is one of the country Africa knows what war is all about, and they will not accept anyone to shake the foundation of their country again.
And Chapter also reacted on our Facebook page, DW Africa. He says that Kagame is not better than Paul Biya of Cameroon. To be truthful, Kagame is fixing and removing the bad seeds while Paul Biya is destroying, stealing, causing division. And those are some of the comments on our Facebook page, DW Africa.
And another one here, which we got from Habib Magula. He says, well, Kagame is right. Why target innocent people who are not armed? That is about the attack on at the volcano mountains there.
Certainly. Yeah. And finally, Kofi Beni Bengo says that the Rwandans would not only regret bitterly, but would also become useless and stupid in all diversity if they follow the Western world and destroy their God-given leader who is determined to lay a solid foundation for Rwanda. Those are your comments. We thank you so much for always reacting and being there and being part of the debate on DW Africa's Africa Link. I am Mimi Mefo.
And I am Abubakar Jalo. Until next time, have a pleasant evening.
W. Made for mind.